purpose for you to know in the Song of Solomon. And what is that? God wants you to know Him. God, in God's Word, He is revealing Himself. And He did that in the Song of Solomon. His relationship with us, how He wants that to be, how we should respond, what happens when we don't respond rightly. The Song of Solomon teaches us a lot about God. So, lots of people have been, I say lots of people, several have sent me emails that said, Pastor, we need to do this, and Pastor, we need to do that, and where are you going next? And Matthew Roman has had several suggestions about what he thinks we ought to do on Wednesday night. I have to remind Matthew he's not the pastor. But that being said, take your Bibles. We're going to do something light on Wednesday night for probably the next year. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Where's Gwen? Gwen picked on me for years and years and years. He said, Pastor, you never preach out of Revelation. And when Gwen came here, I had just finished doing a series in Revelation. I did it on, I think it was Sunday school. It was back in 2010. And I have all the outlines. These are not rehashed. As a matter of fact, I did the message stand alone and then printed off my outline from 15 years ago just to read through that to compare where I was. And 15 years ago, back in 2010, I said I wasn't going to get bogged down, and I spent the first week talking about the first three verses. We're going to go through chapter 1 tonight. I just had to laugh. We are not going to get bogged down, but we are going to look at the book. I said, Gwen, I just finished that. He said, when are you going to do it again? I don't know that I'll ever do it again. But here we are. And Gwen, where are you? Gwen is in heaven. Here we are. Revelation, the revelation of John the Divine is what your Bible says. Anybody's Bible say anything differently? Okay, a little bit different. Okay. What does yours say, Brother Mundy? And that's what it should be right there. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not John's revelation. John is the revelator, if you will, but it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation, God is going to reveal Himself. You're going to learn some things about God, the aspect of God, that you are not going to learn from the Song of Solomon. But it is still God and is still part of who He is and how He deals with human events. This is a total contrast, a total about-face opposite of what Song of Solomon teaches. They say, well, which is right? Yes. Yes. It's just two different aspects. They're both right. You've got the loving Father that desires to have a relationship with you and loves you and wants to meet you and wants to see you and wants to communicate with you. In the book of Revelation, you have the just God who is going to deal with sin and fire and brimstone and judgments and which is right. Yeah, they are both right. They are two aspects of God. People have a tendency to dismiss the book of Revelation as, that's why I don't believe in God, because I can't believe a God would be that ugly, that hateful, that angry. Listen, you can say what you want, but this is an aspect of God, and God's revealing Himself to you, and you best flee from the wrath to come. Because this is as much a part of God as God's love that sent Him, His only begotten Son, to the cross to die for sin. Notice verse 1. And if your Bible says what mine does, the revelation of St. John the Divine, it contrasts with verse 1. Because what does verse 1 say? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So, the title is a title given to it by translators or Bible publishers, but look right to the text and you'll understand exactly what this is revealing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants, that would be you, things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening and that we, over the last several months, we have been inspired to have a better personal relationship with you, to meet you in the morning, to look for you, to answer when you call, to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Father, we also need to be reminded that while you are long-suffering, your long-suffering is not without end, and you have very clearly revealed to us how things are going to fall out in the end. And we should know that so that we can, knowing the wrath to come, we persuade men. And may we be ready, able, willing, capable of doing that. And we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts as we learn more about you and as we study this text in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation, the topic under which it falls, the category, Bible study category, if you like big words, is eschatology. Say, preacher, how do you spell that? Get a dictionary, look it up. Eschatology, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, and I had to peek just to make sure I gave it to you right. Eschatology, or the doctrine of last things. The human instrument is John. I wrote the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and I love his testimony. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. I just love that description of John, because there are so many Christians who get a little bump in the road and they quit. They quit coming to church, quit reading their Bible, quit praying, and you don't see them for 20 years. They just kind of had a hard life. They stubbed their toe. Now, good, a loving God, let them stub their toe. You just have to forgive John if he just doesn't have a whole lot of sympathy for you. John has been arrested, and he has been sentenced, and he has been placed in a penal colony for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What? For being a faithful witness of God. Being persecuted. Yet here he is, on the Lord's day, there's no church. There's no church family. There's no building. There's no people gathered. There's no air conditioning in the summer or heat in the winter. But it's God's day, and he's there, and he's worshiping the Lord. You've got to wonder if God doesn't look down from heaven and say, look at John. Just as he said to Satan, look at Job. Look at John. Satan tried to destroy him. He'd been persecuted. His friends have been beheaded. They've been crucified for the cause of Christ. And that didn't bother him. He's just going to serve me. Look at that. That's the kind of man I want to give my last revelation to. That's the man I'm going to choose to write. Hey, John, I got a message for you. Wow. So you think about that the next time you say, you know what? Church not important. I'm just going to skip church on this Sunday. You just think about that. Because that might have been the Sunday where God said, I'm going to give you something special. And God looks down from heaven and you're not there. Shakes his head. Said, you're not getting it today. I'm not going to give it to you. God's going to choose somebody. God chose John. John was a really special, special guy. Not because he was some extraordinary Christian, but because he lived an extraordinary life. He was committed to the Lord, committed to the things. And listen, there was nobody around. There was no Mr. Frank standing by the back door going, present, present. Well, they're not present, but they're going to be tardy. I know, they come in tardy every week. There's no Mr. Frank at the door messing with you. John's there because he lives what he preaches. I'm going to go off track just a little bit here. This is not in my outline. It ought to scare you whenever I go off track. It just bothers me a little bit when it's on a Sunday and I see somebody, a visitor in a church service, and I go over to them and I say, hi, how are you? Where are you visiting? Well, we're on vacation visiting from such and such a place. Wonderful, I'm so glad you're here. And I look at them and I go, are you the preacher? And he goes,
yes.
Typically, the kids say, see, Dad, we told you you couldn't go 7 minutes without being identified. And sometimes they're coming in without a tie. And that's not a problem. They're on vacation, right? And here's my problem. They skip Sunday school. They're away from home, away from church. There's no Mr. Frank keeping. Now, if you were there and you missed Sunday school at their church, boy, I'm going to tell you what, they'd be knocking on you. Miss Wednesday night? Miss Sunday night? I'm just saying. It bothers me. Because we shouldn't be that way. John wasn't that way. Moving right along. So a revelation contains visions and judgments and requires study, but it is not impossible to understand. It is not impossible at all. But it's going to take a little bit of effort. We're going to take you to some places. The interpretation is typically given in the passage or in other passages that are associated with it, and we'll take you there. The book of Daniel has a lot to say about the book of Revelation, and it'll help you to understand. Daniel 7, verse 7 and 8 talks about little horns, and talks about 10 horns, and there was a little horn, and we know that the little horn is the Antichrist, and we're going to see that in the book of Revelation. It should be interpreted literally, as opposed to the preterist, which means past, and says that the events of Revelation occurred in 70 AD. Now, there's a problem immediately. Look at your Bible. Your Bible have dates in? Somebody tell me what your Bible says on a date that this was written. 97? 96? Mine says 97. The date's going to vary just a little bit, but I'll just say it is nowhere close to 70. And so when you take that position, you have to look at the text and say, we're going to have to monkey with the dates. Listen, this was not written in 70 AD. This was written 25, 26 years after 70 AD. And it was not fulfilled. Don't let people tell you that. No, they will. Now you can go home this evening on the internet and you can find some people that say that was fulfilled in 70 AD. And they have all kinds of stuff and charts and things and arrows pointing every which way, and you go, well, that's pretty impressive. Because Sulit Glossies, read the fine print, 96, 97. And you shake their head, turn them off. Delete them from your history and don't listen to them again because they are off. There are those that take the historical interpretation. That would be Seventh-day Adventists. And they say, the revelation is revealed in church history. The Pope is the beast. And there are those with a futuristic interpretation that revelation is prophetic and future, especially from Revelation chapter 4 to the end. There are just a lot of prophecy books in the Bible. Major prophets in the Old Testament, the minor prophets, they have a lot to say about prophecy, what is going to happen in the end times. Verse 1 is the grand introduction. And again, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is God revealing himself and his plans, what he has in store for the world. Given by God, sent by angelic messenger, given to John. Revelation by itself, the name means to reveal. And God is going to reveal some things, uncover them. The difference between Revelation and Daniel, in Revelation chapter in Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, God said to Daniel, seal it up. In Revelation, we're opening it up. And it is absolutely revealed. Turn with me, keep your finger here in chapter 1. Go with me to chapter 22, verse 10. If you're going to teach something from the Bible, you should have Bible backup. The Bible is the best source on itself. And Pastor, we can't possibly understand the book of Revelation. Look at verse 10. And he saith unto me, what are the next two words? Seal not. We're not sealing this. He told Daniel, seal it up. And he's telling John, don't seal this up. Put it out there. Let it be known. Let it be read. Let it be taught. Let it be understood that God loves you. He died on the cross for you, but he is coming back. The Lord is not long-suffering concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and His long-suffering will come to an end. Revelation. Shortly. It's at hand. Could happen at any time. Trumpet could sound this evening. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you absolutely ought to flee the wrath to come. Tell you what, if I was not saved and I read the book of Revelation, I would... And I know, I remember now, because I said this. It was 2010, and I was at a pastor's fellowship meeting. It was Sunday morning when I taught this. I was at a pastor's fellowship meeting, and the pastor said, hey, Brother Bishop, what are you preaching on right now? I said, I'm preaching on the book of Revelation. They said, on Sunday morning... And he said, yep, absolutely, on Sunday morning. He said, really, can your Sunday morning crowd understand the book of Revelation? I said, well, I figured one of two things. I said, because people come in on Sunday morning, and they're not saved. I said, the people that are saved and love the Lord and love God's Word, they're going to thrive. And the people that are unsaved or on the fence, it should scare the living daylights out of them. And they said, well, that's an interesting approach for a preacher. I'll tell you what. If I read the book of Revelation, I'd be running to the cross. I'm not a horror movie guy at all whatsoever. I don't do scary stuff. I don't do that. This scary stuff. Book of Revelation. Going back to chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. There's a blessing. Threefold. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear, don't miss this, and they that keep. Obedience is expected. Keep the words which are written therein. There are seven blessings, and for time this night, we'll not look at them. Verse 3, verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13, chapter 16. There are seven blessings. Listen, seven is a special number in God's Word. And so I just for fun, I did a little list of the sevens found in the book of Revelation. If you like trivia, this would be neat. There are seven letters to seven churches. There are seven spirits of God. There are seven lamps of fire. There are seven golden candlesticks. There are seven stars, seven angels, seven horns, seven eyes, seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial judgments, seven thunders, 7,000 men slain in Revelation 11:13, seven crowns, seven heads of the beast, seven seven last plagues, seven mountains, seven kings. I'll just say there are lots of sevens in the book of Revelation. If you just studied the sevens in the book of Revelation, you'd be busy for a while. Verses 4 to 8 are their salutation. Tell you who's being addressed. Verse 9 is the first of many visions. I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Woo! Woo! Man, can you imagine just for a second that you're in a penal colony and all of a sudden you heard the voice? Where would you be? I'd be flat on my ground, on the ground, flat on my face. I'd be looking for cover. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Whew. Pen. All the time to come to church without a pen. John's going to write. Love verse 10. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. Nothing's going to keep John from serving the Lord. Isaiah 41 verse 4 says, I am the Lord, the first, with the last. I am He. Isaiah. So he just said that to John, said it to Isaiah. God talked to you if you listen to Him. Talk to you from His Word. Isaiah 44 verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. That doesn't do anything for you. I get goosebumps. I mean, just reading it to you, I get goosebumps. God has revealed Himself to John. God revealed Himself to Isaiah. When's the last time God revealed Himself to you? Through His Word. When's the last time that God's Word was being read and you just had to pull over because He was talking to you? When's the last time you were in a church service? And the preacher said, take your Bibles and turn to and read the passage. And just from the reading of the passage, God smote your heart. And it wasn't invitation time yet. He hadn't even gotten to his introduction yet. But God spoke. And you stepped out and you came down to an altar and said, God, I'm listening. You say, preacher, I would never do that. Maybe that's why God does not speak to us like He did to John and like He did to Isaiah. Because we would not respond and do not respond when He speaks. Isaiah did. John did. The outline is found in verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Things you see, the things which are, things shall be hereafter. Looking at verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first, the last. What thou seest, write in a book. And God wants it sent to the seven churches. There are those that tell you the seven churches are seven different periods of time. They are not seven actual churches. I'm here to tell you. They are seven actual churches. And God said, send it unto the seven churches. So if you take an approach to Scripture that is fast and loose, and I remember it was probably 15 years ago, we got a Sunday school material on the book of Revelation. And the first one was, we have seven churches, seven periods of time, and not actual seven churches. I had Frank call up the publisher and say, don't be sending us false doctrine in your material. What are you talking about? Absolutely false doctrine. God said, send it to the churches. Didn't send it to seven different ages. Said, send it to the seven actual churches. And we're sending your material back to us. And we expect you to refund us our money and the shipping. Frank, did you send it back? Frank absolutely sent it back. It's not seven ages. Pastor, we're in the Laodicean age. We're in the last days, and every church that is mentioned in Revelation in these seven churches is present today. And we'll see that as we go through them. Every age, every time, has these seven churches, these seven thoughts, these seven strains from God in various degrees. There it's alive. Listen, apostasy is alive and well today. And just as they were seven messages for seven churches at the time, the seven church types that are mentioned are active and today, and they, man, if you see us in there, we better be paying attention, because God is absolutely serious about judgment. You get to the book at end of Revelation, you say, you know what? God is really serious about judgment. Mm-hmm. Yes, He is. And we best be paying attention. Seven churches, seven stars, seven angels of the seven churches, a pastor, a messenger. And listen, you say, "Pastor, I've never seen an angel before." Angel is a messenger? Hey, Pastor, you are the most ugly angel we've ever seen. Well, praise the Lord. What were you expecting, wings and a halo? Maybe if I showed up in a white suit and a white shirt and a white, you think, and white shoes, then I could be Mr. Frank, right? Mr. Frank could pull that off. I don't think I could pull that off. Angel's a messenger. God holds him in his right hand. Wow. What does that say? Boy, preacher, you better not mess it up. I got you in my right hand. My dad said, "Man, this is my dad. Are you ready? Another one of my dad's sayings. I'm going to squash you like a bug." God's got you in his right hand. You best not be messing around. Squash you like a bug. You ever see in the newspaper a preacher that's going to jail for doing something sinful, wicked, criminal? Then God said, "I'm done." This is not judgment just for sinners. And we all better be paying attention. John was an angel. He's a messenger. And he brings a message. We ought to be paying attention. Verse 17, powerful response. Gotta love John's response. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." And it's just a reminder. Seven churches, seven preachers, seven candlesticks. And who has control of that? God himself. We do not exist here as a church because we have a pastor and we have deacons and we have a choir and we have a budget. We exist at the pleasure of Almighty God. And when we decide to take a turn, we should not be surprised if God removes the candlestick and blows out the flame. Father, I thank you for this first chapter. Thank you for the privilege of handling your word. Tonight, as we go to prayer, I pray that it would be a different prayer time. We would confess our insecurities, our doubt, our failures, our sin. When we were away, and we dropped the ball. When we've had the truth, but we set it aside for a new path. May you do a work in our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.